Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
When it comes to Thanksgiving, I think that few Christians realize the power that's released towards us when we give thanks, when we learn to give thanks. Saying thanks, I believe, is not a small thing to God. In fact, the Bible actually commands that we give thanks. You know that it's not an option? Listen to this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. Say with me, all circumstances. All circumstances. For this is God's will. Let's say God's will. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're to give thanks in the good times, in the bad times, and in the in-between times, right? So here's, I think we have to understand, we don't wait for God. We don't wait for things to go good so that we can give thanks to God. We start thanking God so that things can go good. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Amen. Question, how often do you hear people expressing sincere gratitudes to God or to someone else? How often do you hear that? Not as much as you hear the opposite, which is complaining. Do you ever try to take a list? I'm going to try to stop complaining. So every time I complain, I'm going to note it. Well, after a while, you lose track, don't you? Because it's in a human nature to complain, right? But not in God's nature to complain. We think about people in the Bible who are great men. Great men in the Bible. Great men. There's lots of great men and women in the Bible. One of the greatest is David. King David was one of the greatest. And he's the only guy that God said, he's a man after my own heart, right? And we think about David. You look at his life. His life was a life of historic ups, huge ups, and big downs, right? And here in Psalm 103, when David wrote Psalm 103, he's reflecting about his life. He's thinking about the triumphs, and he's thinking about the tragedies. He's thinking about God's dealing in his life. And he's trying to wrap his head around all that God means to him, all that God has done for him. And it's out of that reflection and out of that meditation that he writes this incredible song. And he says, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his name, exclamation mark. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. We sang that this morning. Who satisfies your soul so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He's saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, I love the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is God's ancient hymn book of God's people. And every psalm is a hymn. Every psalm is a song. And every hymn has a theme. And the theme of this hymn or psalm is bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord occurs over and over in the psalm. If you look at this psalm, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, David says. And then verse 2, the identical phrase, bless the Lord. Verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels. Verse 21, all you hosts, bless him. Everybody bless him, he's saying. Verse 22, bless the Lord appears not just once, twice, six times in a very significant way. David is trying to say, listen, the theme of this hymn is to bless God. You know what bless means on your PowerPoint? The bless means to make happy, right? So, to bless the Lord is to make God happy. You know what makes God happy? It makes God happy when you bless him with heartfelt thanksgiving and praise and worship. That's what makes him happy. I love what Margaret said. It's like heaven's, you know, heaven is leaning over the corridor. He's listening to this. It's like God is listening. He's so excited. Blesses. It just blesses him so much. We bless the Lord by praising him, by exalting his name. Oh, well, bless the Lord. Things didn't work out so well, so bless the Lord. Is that what blessing the Lord is? No! What David is saying, it means when you bless the Lord, you are literally lost in wonder and in awe of who he is and what he's done for you. And you can't even contain it. You are so preoccupied with him that you're totally out of the picture. You're not the main focus. He is. And you're blessing him. And because you're out of the way, your spirit is just leaping out of your soul. And you cannot. You're taken up to the point that this incredible worship and praise just erupts out of your soul. It's beyond yourself. It's because the Spirit of God is within you. Amen? You're so taken with God. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy sanctuary. Come on, soul. I'm just reaching into the deepest part of my soul, and I'm going to give you my praise, my worship. I'm going to honor you. My attention, my focus is totally on you. That's what it means to bless the Lord, right? That's the type of worship that God longs for, gets his attention. Amen? And then David adds, and forget not all his benefits. Five major benefits in Psalm 103 that we should never forget. And you notice them in order. First of all, he says, he forgives all your iniquities. All your sins are forgiven. Here's a question. Do you ever stop to think about this? That what it would be like if you were to confess a sin to God, and then God would come back to you and knock on your door and said, no more forgiveness. You've gone too far. What would that be like, right? It's so easy to forget about the forgiving hand of God in our lives. David said right here, verse 10, he does not punish us for all our sins. He does not treat us harshly. He doesn't deal with us harshly as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards us, to those who fear him, is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as east is from the west. That's an infinite distance. Wow, he says, I've totally forgiven you, right? And when you think back, I say, think back. Think about last week, last month. Think about over the years. How many times did you repent of a sin? You say, God, I'm so sorry I did that. God, please forgive me. How many times did you do that? Can you even think how many times? I've totally lost track after last week. What if God never forgave you for any of those sins? What would you be like today? What would your soul be like? I tell you, you would be so weighted down with sin and guilt and condemnation. You could not get off the ground. It would be a baros type of Greek word, baros weight. Just bear, it would just destroy you. Destroy your soul if you'd never gotten forgiven, right? Some people are struggling with that. And David says, listen, he has pardoned all your sins, every single one. Doesn't matter what it is. He has forgiven you. He will forgive you. You just repent, he forgives you. Never forget. David says, next, he heals all your diseases. Let me ask you a question. Were you sick last year? Some of us were really sick. You know, doctors, specialists, they can diagnose the disease. They can tell you that's the cause, but they cannot heal you. Only God can heal you. Amen? Amen. Here David says, he heals all your diseases. Now, is that just diseases of the body? No. It's more than that. So, who is David talking to you when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul? You know who he's talking to? He's talking to his soul. When he says he heals us of all our diseases, he's talking also the disease, this diseases of the soul. He He's talking about hatred. He heals you of hatred. He heals you of malice. He heals you of bitterness. He heals you of disappointment. He heals you of you know, whatever anger and resentment. He heals you of all those, right? He frees you from that. He comes to free you from feelings like revenge. Revenge of harboring feelings that say, I'm going to get you back for what you did to me. He heals you of that. He heals your body and he heals your soul. He sets you free. Amen? Amen. Don't ever forget. Number three, he redeems your life from the pit. You know what pit means? Pit means to be in ruin, to be in a place of destruction, to be a totally corrupt to the point there's no hope for you. There's two references that David is getting to here when he's referring to the pit. First, it refers to before your salvation. Before your salvation, you were lost. You were in the pit. You were in the pit of despair. You were in the pit of sin. You were in a pit of no hope, no help, no faith, no God. You were in the pit. That's what he's referring to. But it also refers to after your salvation. He redeems you. He saves you from the pit of hell, the pit of death, called Sheol in the Bible. So David is saying, never, ever forget the pit from which you've been dug up from. And never, ever forget the pit from which you've been saved from. Amen? Never forget. Number four, he says, fourth thing he says, he crowned you with steadfast love and mercy. Steadfast love and mercy. And he's not just a God in the sky that's somewhere far away that you're going to meet someday. No, right now, he wants to have a relationship with you. He is your heavenly Father, right? And verse 13, David explains it in that psalm. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. He knows we're weak. He knows that we're sinners. He knows that we blow it all the time. But he loves us. And he still crowns you with his love and compassion and mercy and grace. You can still go to him. Amen? Nothing can hold you back from God. He loves you so much. He crowns you with this loving kindness and compassion. I tell you, this Thanksgiving, if you forget everything else, don't forget that. Amen? And then he says, number five, he satisfies your years with good things. We sang that song. Excellent song choice. It matches up with the message. That's God, right? He wants to get the point across. He crowns your life with good things. He satisfies your years with many good things. Verse 5 says, David says, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What he's saying is this: God provides what is so enjoyable and satisfying that even in your old age, inside, you are young and you are strong and you are alive. Amen? Don't you feel that way? I'm older. I'm not really old. I'm still older. But you know, I feel younger inside. God's renewing my soul. I can get tired in the body, but listen, I can just go to God and just spend my time with God and in the presence of the Holy Spirit and get my heart right with God, and he strengthens me. He renews my strength. I'm able to get off the ground and fly again, right? That's what the analogy is about. It's about, he says, we're like an eagle. He says, we're like the eagle, even an older age. Inside, you feel younger, you feel stronger, right? Your youth, which is your inner man. He's talking about your inner man. Your youth is your inner man. Your inner man is renewed like the eagles. If you study the eagles, one of the few creatures of the sky who actually get stronger as they get older. You have a young eagle, you have an older eagle, way more powerful, way more stronger. He says that's what your life is kind of like. He's saying that God is saying that, or David is saying, it's God who continues to make your inside new, your inner man, so that your life in the spirit is enjoyable, it's satisfying, it's free, and it's enthusiastic and it's passionate as ever for God. In your older physical age, you're younger. Amen? That's God. extraordinary God. I like the Passion Version. Psalm 103, verse 5 says, "You satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I can soar again like an eagle flying in the sky." Wow. Maybe you've gone through a big downer. But listen, you turn your heart and you go to God. He can refresh and restore your soul. Amen? He can make you strong and fresh inside. He can take the disappointment away. Take that weight away so you can literally fly again like the eagle. Amen? All these five benefits, today they're all wrapped in God's Son, Jesus. All the blessings of God flow through Jesus, His Son. Amen? And God did not hold anything back, and He's not holding anything back from you today. Amen? I love the scripture that verifies it. Paul said in Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with them, graciously give us all things?" Are you waiting on God for something good, something great that you need for your life? Don't give up, because He will give you what you need. Amen? I say, you know what? Let's thank God for Jesus Christ, for whom all blessings flow. Let's thank Him. Don't forget to not thank Him. Amen? So, but when you thank Him, you got to use your voice. Your voice was meant to thank Him. And Margaret explained that. It's good when you have a confirmation. You just follow up and just double impact when you talk about it, right? Listen, you got to open your mouth in order to thank God. Thank God is not just thinking about it. It's opening your mouth. Too many Christians are thinking in their mind, but they never speak it in their mouth. So if it's not spoken over your mouth, it's not done. Because it's not one unless it comes out of your mouth. Amen? Gordon, I'll tell you this story. I like the story I'm preaching today. Gordon MacDonald. Have anybody heard of Gordon MacDonald? He's a well-known Christian author. Gordon MacDonald talks about a time when he took his three-year-old son and he took him to Chuck E. Cheese's for pizza and fun. And in this encounter, it was about his son not giving thanks for what had just, he had just, the blessing he had gone in his three-year-old life. Here, I'll tell you the story. Gordon MacDonald tells it this way. He said, "We took our grandson, age three at the time, to Chuck E. Cheese's for pizza and noisy rides. When the evening ended, his grandmother buckled him into his car seat and said, Now be sure you say thank you to your papa." Silence. No reaction. Kid's sitting there. She said again, "Did you hear me? Be sure you say thank you to papa." Again, silence. At first, I ignored this backseat conversation, but then I changed my mind and said this, "You know, papa enjoys doing nice things for grandchildren, especially when they say thank you." More silence. "Did you hear, papa?" I asked, now a tad irritated. "Uh-huh." There was no thank you. And now I was very upset. "Are you ignoring me?" The volume of my voice amped up, then this response, "I'm thankful, papa. I just don't want to say it." Isn't that cute? I think maybe that's the way Christians are in our relationship to God, right? Your greatest weapon is your voice. Your greatest weapon is your voice. When we give thanksgiving with our mouth, right? It becomes a weapon. I say this, if you want victory over the negative emotions that you're struggling with, then you need to begin to use, to employ a thanksgiving attitude, or you will never overcome those negative emotions, right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I like the word. So this is one of my favorite scriptures. Philippians 4, verse 6. Paul says, "Don't worry about anything." I would say, stop right there. Wait a minute. Don't worry about anything? Are you kidding me? I worry about everything sometimes. How's that possible? Well, he's telling us, don't worry about anything. But he doesn't just tell you, okay, that's it. Just don't worry. No. But he gives you sound advice here. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead of worrying, what are we supposed to do? Pray. Pray about what? Everything. Then it says, tell God what you need. When's the last time you really told God what you need? Tell God what you need, right? And then what? Thank him. Thank him for all he has done, right? Then what happens? Come on. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. He said, peace will literally guard your heart and mind. Peace will guard your mind. Peace will give you good health in your mind. One of the keys to mental health is to pray and believe God, right? And seek him and tell him, and then see God answer your prayers. We need peace. So I say, if you want peace, then you've got to act upon these things. You've got to do these things, right? You know, it just doesn't happen until you do this. You know, these scriptures, and I said it, a preacher said this, and I thought that was good. He says, a lot of people read the Bible like their Hallmark greeting cards. Hallmark greeting cards for inspiration, right? You read that, oh, that's nice, that's inspiring. The Bible's not for inspiration. It's for what? Instruction. So that we practice and we do it, amen? So here's three ways to practice the attitude of thanksgiving in your life. Ready? First thing you do, you thank and praise God for everything in your life. Thank and praise God for everything in your life. Every morning when I get up, I do this every morning. The first thing I do, it's wintertime. In the wintertime, fall time, I do this. I get up, I adjust the thermostat. I turn it up. I turn it down, right, to make it comfortable. To me, it's really comfortable. My wife, it's too cold. Right? I try to turn it down to 16 or 17, which is good for me with blankets, right? But every morning I turn it up. I adjust the thermostat for the day, right? Listen, you can adjust the thermostat of the Thanksgiving attitude in your heart by just turning it up. As soon as you wake up and you open your eyes, say, oh, thank God, I got a good sleep tonight. Last night, thank you, God. Or thank God, I've got no pain. Thank God, I've got a roof over my head. Thank God, the furnace works. Thank God, I've got a car to drive to work. Thank God, I've got three meals. Thank God, I've got a job to go to. Thank God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, right? You're setting the thermostat when you start to thank God, right? So important. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A famous Bible teacher named Matthew Henry. I like the story about Matthew Henry. He was once attacked by robbers. Thieves stole all the money he had on him. And he wrote these words in his diary. He said, let me be thankful. Let me be thankful. First, four reasons. He said, first, I was never robbed before. Thank you, God. Second, even though they took my purse, my wallet, whatever today, they didn't take my life. Thank you, God. Third, although they took my all, it was not much. Thank you, God. Fourth, let me be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who was doing the robbing. Wow. Be thankful. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is what? The fruit of what? Come on, let's say it together. Our lips. Giving thanks to his name. What he's saying is, you gotta open your mouth. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, you gotta open your mouth. You gotta open your mouth to give thanks to God, right? He's saying, you gotta start walking around everywhere you go throughout the day. Start thanking God. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for that parking spot. Thank you, Lord, that even though that guy stole my parking spot, you're teaching me patience. Thank you, Lord. There's always something you can thank God for, right? In every situation, thank God. I'm not thanking that he took my parking spot, though. No, I'm thanking that he's building patience. I don't know. Does that make sense to you? There's always something to thank God for. Amen? Amen? Number two, Second thing you do, you don't allow yourself to complain about anything. Don't allow yourself to complain about anything. He said, you got to watch your mouth. Don't complain. I mean, if it's in your mind, don't speak it. There's something about when you speak it, it does something in the realm, right? God spoke and the world was created. We speak and something is created. Depends on the motive and the words that we're saying. Amen? So powerful. Well, man, it's not fair. Not fair. It's Thanksgiving. I know just about everybody I know, they're going to have roast turkey for Thanksgiving. Me, all I got is this lousy piece of bologna. I got bologna, right? Bologna. That's my Thanksgiving. You know what? When we were kids, we had bologna. Sometimes we had no meat, and when we had bologna, it was fabulous. I remember this big, big bologna my parents would buy at the store. You know, slice it in half and then put the fridge in them, wrap one up, and the other one was to eat, and we just slice it nice and thin. Get a hot frying pan, put some butter in it, slap that bologna down there, one slice, two slices, as many slices as possible. Get a nice little char, you know, what do you call it, a little crispy, you know, it's nice and golden, and then you flip it over, and you get some toast, and you butter that toast, and you get that bologna, you put it in that toast, you put some mustard on it, and oh, man, it was incredible, right? I mean, bologna was, I think I like bologna better than turkey. You know, here's what it can look like. This is what you can, that looks gourmet. I mean, does anybody not want to eat bologna this morning, right? Today? I'm making you hungry. It can also look like this. This is the way it used to look like. That's what it used to look like. Wow, doesn't that look good? Bologna. Listen, give God thanks for everything, even if it's bologna. Amen? Number three, don't compare yourself to other people. So many people are discontented because they're comparing themselves to other people. Their abilities, the way they look, the possessions that other people have, comparing, right? Comparing their lives. I say this, don't wish you were someone else. Don't wish you were someone else because you don't know what God has planned for you, right? God, you are special in God's sight. God has maybe something good for them, but he also has something good for you. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The Bible says he has good for you. He has good for you. You are like no one else. You are like no one else. And some people say, thank God. Thank God there's no one like you, you know. But you are like no one else. You know, somebody said, God made you special. He made a special mold for you. But after you were made, what did he do? He broke the mold. There's nobody else on this earth that is like you. You are totally special in God's eyes. Amen? Amen? You're totally. No one's like you. They may kind of look a little bit like you, but they're not you. He designed you with a plan, a purpose that's absolutely special for your life. I like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is the amplified vision, a version, which says, this is who we are. This is who you are. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking the paths he set, so that we could walk in them, living the good life, prearranged, and made ready for us. He did it all for us. We just got to find those pathways and we just got to walk in them. That's why people are going to have problems because they're not walking on the pathways and the principles of God. They're meant to be pathways of blessing. High roads. You're not walking into the ditches. Not in the Philippines, you're not walking into the sewer. Right? You keep, you know. I like this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, which says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you know who wrote that scripture? Do you know who said those words? It was the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul. When did he say those words? Where was he? He was at the almost at the last days of his life, and he was in a very dark place of prison. And he was waiting for his execution. And here, Paul says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm thinking, you know what? If there's anyone that should have not had peace, it should have been Paul in that place, right? He should have not had peace. He should have been at, he should not have been at ease. He should have been at dis-ease with anger, resentment, disappointment, saying, God, after all I've done for you, and this is the way I'm going to go out of this life? Is that Paul's attitude? No. He says, God, he was looking forward to what God had for him. He says, I've run the race. I've run the course. I've done all that I can for you. I'm looking forward to my reward now. He wasn't complaining about the places he was in and the hardship that he had gone through, was he? Wow. What an attitude of thanksgiving. So, I'm almost done, but I'm going to give you 12 benefits of thanksgiving real quick. And these are actually from Creflo Dollar Ministries. I was listening to one of his Thanksgiving messages. I thought these were so good. I'm going to write them down. I'm going to give them to you. We talked about forgetting not all those benefits. Here's some other benefits. Here's the benefits of a thankful life. Number one, ready? It reduces depression. Thankfulness helps to reduce depression when you're thankful. That makes sense, too. Next one, a thankful life will give you a promotion at work. A thankful person is more likely to be promoted than a complaining person. Amen? Number three, thankfulness will improve your self-esteem. It's been proven. The more you thank, the better you feel about yourself. Number four, thankfulness will improve your energy. That makes sense, doesn't it? Number five, thankfulness will help you develop a strong immunity system. So good. So true. Number six, being thankful will decrease blood pressure. Why? Because you're not focused on those negative things that make your blood pressure go up, right? Number seven, thankfulness will increase sleep quality. Number eight, being thankful will reduce and help you cope with negative stresses. See, you can just focus on those negative things. You can meditate on the bad things, and you're going to get all stressed out. But soon, as you start being thankful, it'll reduce your stress. Number nine, being thankful will reduce negative emotions like envy, anger, hatred, just by being thankful. Isn't that amazing? Being thankful will help you become, I like this one, will help you become more likable. Does that make sense? Somebody said, whoa, that's a good one. It is good. Being thankful helps you make you more likable. You know, someone walks around, and they're not thankful. They're going through a hard time. You want to empathize with them, but all they're doing is just walk around. They don't give thanks. They don't want to talk to you. You want to hang around with a person like that? No. You hang around with someone who expresses gratitude, is thankful. Of course, makes sense, doesn't it? Where am I? Number 11, being thankful will increase feelings of happiness and well-being. Starts with your mouth. You say, well, I don't feel like giving thanks. Starts with your mouth. And then your feelings will begin to follow. Amen? One more. Being thankful will increase productivity in life. So true, isn't it? Because you're not focused on the negative. You're focused on positive and good things, right? I think we tend to look at Thanksgiving backwards. In other words, we thank God for something that has already happened. But I think that's not really all the purpose that Thanksgiving has for us. Here's the purpose of Thanksgiving. The purpose of Thanksgiving is not just being thankful for something that has happened. Rather, it's to open the door to a greater blessing that God wants to bring into your life. Does that make sense? Because the blessings of God, because thankfulness on your PowerPoint, thanksgiving becomes a window through which God's love and blessing shines through, right? When you think about it, God never blesses complaining. If you study the Bible and look at the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, that the first church in the desert, they were in the desert, and God says it very plainly, you're not going in. You know why? Because you complain too much. Their complaining literally was the key reason that kept them out of the promised land. Because complaining is not just negative words coming out of your mouth. Complaining is more than that. Complaining actually robs you of your faith in God. Complaining is the language of discontent, ingratitude, and unbelief. And you know, I like what Denzel Washington says. He says, a bad attitude is like a flat tire. And until you change it, you're not going anywhere. Isn't that true? This attitude is so important. Because Thanksgiving is a window through which God's love shines through. You know, today God is plainly saying this, that His will for our life is that we be thankful people. That's His will, right? So Colossians 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart, right? He said, let the peace of God. He didn't say, let depression rule in your heart. Don't let disappointment rule in your heart. Don't let, you know, complain. You know, don't let those things, discontent, doubt, unbelief, depression, stubbornness of heart. You know, I believe this, that Thanksgiving is not just a one-time thing. Oh, it's Thanksgiving, so that's why we're talking about Thanksgiving. No, Thanksgiving is not a seasonal thing. It's not a holiday thing. It's just a part of who you are and what you're supposed to do as a believer in Christ. Amen? Amen, do you agree with me? Psalm 103, such a powerful psalm. David is talking to his soul. I say the first thing we need to do is we need to speak to our soul. He said, oh, hey, soul, speak to the deepest part of you and start speaking to your soul. Say, come on, soul, let's be thankful. Let's praise the Lord. Amen? You know, the most powerful weapon, Kreffeldahl said, the most powerful weapon you possess is your mouth. The most powerful weapon you possess is your mouth. So load it with the word of God. Load it with thanksgiving and load it with praise and worship. And your life is going to change. Amen? Amen? Amen. We have so much to be thankful for. Look at the country that we live in. Man, we have so much to be thankful for. Let's start thanking God. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Father, we talked about being thankful people. We talked about being thankful and the benefits of Thanksgiving. And maybe there's someone here today and you've never known life out of the pit. You know nothing about being crowned with God's loving compassion and His kindness. And maybe that, and I'll tell you, that's because that you're distanced from God, and God is foreign to you. But I want to tell you, the God of heaven came down and He shed His blood on the cross through His Son Jesus so that He could be close to you. He died in your place so that He could pardon your sins. But here's the thing, but you need to believe in Him and you need to receive Him into your heart by faith. So maybe that's you. You've never received Christ. You've known about Jesus, but you haven't personally invited him into your heart so that you could have a relationship with Him and with God. And Bible says when you do that, it's called salvation. It's called being born again. It's called receiving the greatest gift ever, called the gift of eternal life. And when you die and leave this place, you're eternally with God in heaven. So if you've never done that, I want to say a simple prayer I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that today. Say this short, simple prayer, and I promise you, it will change your life forever. If that's you, pray after me. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for proving it to me by dying on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe in you, and I receive you into my heart today by faith. I ask you to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.